A public policy polling based out of Raleigh just did a survey of North Carolinians on the death penalty, one of the things that has been kind of ubiquitous for many decades. Is as much as Americans talk about the death penalty, public opinion on the issue has been pretty consistent, and that is true of the national level as well as the state level. Now, though, it's looking like things are beginning to change as more and more Americans, and according to this survey, more and more North Carolinians are turning against the death penalty, much more than before. Tom Jensen is the director of public policy polling. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website. PPP Polls is where you can find them on Twitter, and he joins us now on the phone. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So talking about this survey that some of the numbers just got released, what did you find with regard to North Carolinians and their opinions on the death penalty, and why does it seem to be, or why does it seem to be the case that public opinion is changing?
Well, in general, North Carolinians don't think that the death penalty is the best solution for people who have been convicted of first-degree murder. Only 25% actually say that the death penalty would be their first choice as a form of punishment. 54% of people think it should be life in prison with no possibility of parole and possibly a requirement to work in prison and pay restitution to the victims as well. So across the board, sort of a feeling that this is not the best possible punishment. And we found within the poll a lot of signs that people are concerned about the fairness of various aspects of the death penalty. We asked, for instance, if people would support changing the current death penalty sentencing guidelines so that people with documented evidence of a severe mental illness at the time of the crime cannot be executed. 68% of voters support that sort of legislation, 26% opposed. Also, a lot of concern about racial bias in the death penalty. We asked if defendant can prove that the death penalty was sought or obtained in his case because of racial bias, should they be able to present that evidence? 75% of voters said yes, 18% said no. So I think there's a fair amount of concern about the fairness of the death penalty. I think there's a fair amount of concern about the cost of the death penalty. And I think there's also a fair amount of concern that innocent people have been and could be in the future executed, that leads people more towards thinking that life in prison is the best path forward.
How much of a change is this from previous findings?
It's definitely something where there is movement occurring over time away from support for the death penalty. And I think you can see that, especially in the Democratic Party. For instance, Bill Clinton, president in the 90s, was pretty enthusiastically pro-death penalty in a way that I don't think would really be accepted from Democratic leaders anymore in this decade. And I also think that there is just increasing awareness of some of the problems of the death penalty. The Innocence Project has done a good job of showing the extent to which innocent people are getting sentenced to death, hopefully getting exonerated before that sentence is actually carried out. But definitely seeing that we are seeing innocent people get sentenced to death. And I also think there is just an increasing level of awareness, especially with young generations, about the ways in which the criminal justice system is racially biased. And I think there's more awareness of that, and there's more concern about that, that I think is generally leading to some sort of bipartisan consensus for more criminal justice reform.
One of the things that we've talked about with regard to the death penalty in North Carolina is that we still have the death penalty in North Carolina. We still do have capital cases, and occasionally people do receive the death penalty, but North Carolina has effectively stopped executing people, and that's been the case for a long time. What do you see as being the causal arrow here? Is it that states are executing fewer people because public opinion is turning, or is public opinion turning because the death penalty is just becoming less and less commonly used and people are starting to see it as more and more of a, to quote the Eighth Amendment, an unusual form of punishment?
Well, I think one thing that stopping executions in North Carolina has shown is that the death penalty didn't actually have any effect in deterring crime, which is often the number one thing used to justify it as an argument. As you mentioned, it's been over a decade now since we had an execution, and that hasn't led to some sort of increase in violent crime in the state. It's really pretty steady. So I think that sort of throws the main argument in support of the death penalty out the window. So I think that's one piece of it. I do think that all of the reasons that people, in terms of average voters, are concerned about the death penalty also plays into why the state is using the death penalty less. I think a lot of these executions are getting slowed up because of these sorts of concerns about bias and mental health of the condemned and those sorts of things. That's causing the public to become more skeptical of the death penalty, and it's also causing justice officials, I think, to sort of slow the process down and make sure that things are being done as fairly as possible. But one thing I thought was particularly interesting in this poll is that 57% of voters said that they would support a decision by their local prosecutor to stop seeking the death penalty because of these concerns about wrongful convictions and high costs and racial bias. Only 38% opposed. So I think one thing you see there is there's not really any political pressure on district attorneys to seek the death penalty. Broadly in the state, voters are sort of supportive of their DAs putting the brakes on death penalty prosecutions. And if it's not a situation where prosecutors are feeling any political pressure to do it, there may not be as much inclination to go forward with those kinds of cases.
And that's certainly the case here in Orange County. I know Jim Woodall's RDA, and he's had a couple of kind of high-profile murder cases where he could have potentially made the decision to seek the death penalty, very clearly decided not to do that and has kind of made that a general rule. And as far as I know, hasn't gotten anything in terms of flack for that. If anything, Orange County residents support that 100%.
Absolutely. And then I think another piece of it is that the more highly populated areas of the state, which presumably will have more murder cases, also have the most progressive voters in the state. So sort of per capita, the places where the most crimes where you could seek the death penalty are happening are also the places where there's the least will from local citizens for their prosecutors to move forward with that as a punishment. So I think that sort of helps to cut down the number of death penalty cases we've seen in the state as well.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, you can find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. And if you go there, you'll get more numbers from this survey. Other thing that has been, of course, galvanizing people's attention in the last week has been the State of the Union address that President Trump gave a couple of days ago, starting to get some indication of what the public reaction is. And from what I've seen, kind of the typical story, a majority of Americans like the speech. They do that every year, regardless of the president. And Trump seems to be getting a little bit of a bounce in the poll numbers, and that tends to happen after every State of the Union as well. But getting into specifics, what are you seeing in terms of the public reaction to the speech, and how long lasting is the bump going to be, if there even is a bump at all?
Well, I think something that's important to understand about the State of the Union is that it is a preaching to the choir event. You're right that every year people say they like the speech. And the reason that every year people say they like the speech is because generally the people who watch the speech are very disproportionately people who actually like the president who's in office. So when Obama was president, Democrats watched it a lot more than Republicans. Now that Trump's president, Republicans are watching it a lot more than Democrats. So that doesn't actually mean that the speech was particularly successful. It just means that sort of your base is who's most likely to want to watch you talk for 84 minutes or whatever Trump's speech came in at. So it did get good reviews in the quick post speech polls, but the reviews were actually very similar to what they were last year, and he didn't get any sort of approval bounce of any long-lasting nature out of last year's speech. So I wouldn't imagine that would be the case with this year's speech as well. One thing that I would warn is that Trump's numbers during the shutdown were possibly as low as they were going to get, with polls showing him at 35 or 36%. If he starts to have polls now where he's more at like 40 or 41%, I wouldn't really ascribe that to people being really excited about the agenda he put forth in the State of the Union or anything like that. I think it's more just a product of him sort of getting back to his baseline level of support after the government's not in a shutdown anymore. And of course, if the government gets in a shutdown again next week, we may find that he goes right back down. But I think any increase that you see these days is mostly just about the shutdown not being in the headlines the way it was in most of January, driving down his numbers.
A couple of other things that are in the headlines this week, people are starting to file their taxes for 2019 or 2018 taxes for this year and are a little bit upset, to say the least, about the refund that they're not getting and the amount of money they're going to have to owe. And you're seeing people kind of tweeting out about that. The other thing that we're always hearing about in the news is additional kind of economic indicators or signs that the economy is doing well or not doing well, or who is succeeding and who is not in the economy. How much of the reaction to the State of the Union, how much of Trump's approval rating, how much of just our opinion about politics in general is driven by those economic numbers, and where and how much are they impacting, say, Trump's approval rating now?
Well, I think our last national poll is really telling on that front. We asked people in the last 2 years, has your economic situation personally gotten better, worse, or stayed about the same? And we found that 38% of voters in the country said that their economic situation had gotten better, and Trump's approval rating in the poll was 40%. So the sense of people's personal economic situation getting better and their sense of whether Trump is doing a good job or not were very closely correlated. And the reality of the situation is that even if a lot of the macro indicators about the economy say that it's doing pretty well, that it's doing pretty strong, if only 38% of voters feel like their personal situation has actually improved since Trump became president, he's just not going to get that much credit for it from voters. So he was definitely sort of trying to score some points on Tuesday night, talking about how much better the economy's gotten. But most people aren't feeling that at the individual level. And it's going to be very interesting to do some polling as we get further into tax season. What I'm seeing sort of anecdotally so far is that people are much more likely to have unpleasant surprises when they go to do their taxes this year in wake of the changes that were made to the tax law last year than they are to find pleasant surprises. I think a lot of the stuff about deductions that were taken away, you think about the state and local tax deduction, that's something that's very relevant in a place like Orange County that has much higher property taxes than most of the country. You maybe hear in an abstract way that the state and local tax deduction has been capped at $10,000 and don't give it much thought. But when you actually sit down to do your taxes and see that you're losing like $10,000 worth of deductions that you could have done a year ago, that's when I think people start to really see that the impact that the new tax plan's having. So I think we'll definitely be doing some more extensive polling come April, once most everyone's done their taxes, about the impact that they think tax reform had on their personal tax load. But at least from the sort of early voices coming out about it, it seems like most people are having an unpleasant experience with the new tax law.
Get more info on numbers statewide and nationally online at publicpolicypolling.com and find them on social media at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.